Right, I found something quite interesting for you lot to listen to, because I'm here with someone who has a festival pass, and that means literally a ticket to every single show here at In Between Time. Did you want to just introduce yourself?
My name's Deborah Dignam, and I work with the British Council. I'm drama, dance, and digital advisor there, and I am on my third day of In Between Time.
Yeah, and you're Dignam D on Twitter, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, brilliant. So, where to start? How are you feeling, first off, overall about the festival? What's the vibe of it? How does it feel to you?
Well, it's really interesting. I came here on Thursday evening, today is Saturday, and I have to say that now it's Saturday evening, 5 o'clock, I really feel like a lot of the work has had a chance to bed in with me at this stage. And I've just come out of a performance with Sarah Jane Norman, very interesting Australian artist, where I really need to just have a little think about that. But it's been a really good afternoon. I think overall what I'm feeling now at this stage is I feel all of the work has slowly caught up with me, and I feel now I have a lot to process. But overall, really, like, I think that it's really true in that Helen Cole describes the festival as being a festival of live art and intrigue, and I think intrigue is certainly what it has been for me for the past while. And I really feel that I'm leaving tomorrow at lunchtime, but even though there's only sort of an evening and a morning left, there's still a huge amount of work that I can see and some really interesting projects to look forward to.
Brilliant. So what have been highlights for you? That's not too much of a cruel question.
always wary of saying highlight. I think what I'm most sore is that the experience that I had this afternoon was really rich. I went to see a double bill of the Sleep Dogs and Sylvia Rimmett as well. I hadn't seen either of their work before, and I found both of them extremely interesting in different ways, particularly the first piece, Sleep Dogs, because it's about sort of looking at the tragedy, basically, of how the way that we communicate today, how we text, how we can sort of check things on YouTube, how our instantaneous communication, where we see situations in the real world which we instantly broadcast, and sometimes there's a question about the ethics surrounding that, and that's what this piece is about today, the dead phone, where that was sort of looked at in a very interesting way, in a really, really simple way, just in simple one person on stage performing in just a conversation, basically making one long phone call, and it brought up that issue of what is the appropriate measures around when horrific things happen in the real world, and why should they then actually live on the internet, and is that really the place for us to show things where the person themselves cannot in any way control.
I think, I can't remember who said this, but there was something about, I think it was Charlie Brooker, following the 7-Eleven, is that what we called it? I can't remember, I get mixed up. It was the London attacks, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Did we call it 7-Eleven? Is that what we called it?
No, not 7, it was 5.
5, 7, 5, oh yeah, okay, I give up.
Okay.
I remember Charlie Brooker saying something about how everyone had instinctively filmed things, and that he could understand how you might want to, when witnessing something terrible or completely out of your ordinary experience, want to sort of distance yourself behind a screen. Mm. This is me watching an action film. This is not me being in a, you know, a death-ridden experience.
Yeah.
So I think that's a...
There's something around the sort of, I think sometimes in terms of, like, when people are in horrific incidents as well, or situations, that they laugh, because it's a way to relieve the stress and the tension. It's almost like your own personal breaking tension. And in the same way, I think it's easier for us to stand back and watch horrific accidents as if they're happening to somebody else, not that we're actually active, because is also the question then, if you consider yourself to be part of that, then you feel a responsibility to in some way try and control or engage that experience as well.
An interesting double bill, actually, because the first one was very much being out of control in some ways, and the second one was very much about author control, and I felt very much like, because basically she sat with a laptop on stage, and projected on a screen. She was basically typing the actions and descriptions, and she was describing the play that was happening, even though you couldn't see it, as it were. It's probably a very poor explanation. But what was interesting there is that you kind of noticed the power that she had a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like, particularly when she wrote the woman with the glasses and the red top. She might later take her top off and then changed it to glasses. There was something there about the editorial power of being a writer and a creator of a universe, which I found quite interesting.
Well, yeah, exactly. It was really interesting because, as well, in terms of being a participative piece as well, we were all sitting in the auditorium on our seats watching the performance happen, but we were very actively engaged with it. Mm-hmm. And it did feel like a sense of actually we were, the choices we were making as an audience were actually affecting the outcome of our performance. It was really interesting. So in one particular way, so yeah, as you described, and just to say to that as well, there was a large screen where we could see projected everything that she was typing on her laptop, and that was her controlling mechanism. But what was interesting is in one part where she actually asked two members of the audience to leave, and she repeatedly asked them to leave. They wouldn't leave. She asked members of the audience via typing if they would encourage them to leave, and they wouldn't. And that was really interesting because that was a point where genuinely the audience had control, because the people didn't leave and she had to actually change the outcome of the performance and do something differently. So that was really interesting. But I think for me, both pieces were just really interesting in terms of, the first piece is incredibly simplistic in the way it looked at an issue which is so I think so pertinent to our times right now, but it was really nice to see that instead of, because it was a digital question that he was looking at, he didn't use any form of kind of media. It was just actually him and a phone and a brilliant piece of dialogue. And in the second piece, it was really interesting that it was about manipulation of the audience and control, but we were again expected to build a picture of what was happening. And as you mentioned, it was really interesting that sort of, they were both about distance as well. Yeah. They were both about sort of remote locations as well. So there's an aura of intrigue in terms of why are they doing this. So I think it's it was really, really interesting afternoon. And this evening I'm seeing Action Hero and Kim Noble. So I think that'll be quite different to go to a more sort of a very performance orientated work. So looking forward to that. But overall, in between time, it's I'm having a really, really good time and enjoying all the intrigue.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for talking to me.